Surely she could tolerate having the man living upstairs in her apartment for 6 weeks. Especially since he would be out of town for much of those 6 weeks, as part of his duties as lead pilot for the Kane Tech Company Jetfleet. The reality of it all was just beginning to sink in, though. Jamie Kane, upstairs from her in all his sexy, masculine glory. She fanned herself with her hand, wondering if she was having a premature onset hot flash, or if her new furnace could be on the fritz. The temperature in here seemed suddenly off the charts. How would she tolerate having him here, spending her evenings knowing he was only a few steps away, and that she would have to do her best to hide the absolutely ridiculous, truly humiliating crush she had on the man? This was such a mistake. Heart pounding, she watched through the frothy curtains as he pulled a long black duffel bag from the back of his SUV and slung it over his shoulder, lifted a laptop case over the other shoulder, then closed the cargo door and headed for the front steps. A moment later, her old-fashioned musical doorbell echoed through the house. If she hadn't been so nervous, she might have laughed at the instant reaction of the three cats, previously lounging in various states of boredom around the room. The moment the doorbell rang, Empress and Tabitha both jumped off the sofa as if an electric current had just zipped through it, while Audrey Hepburn arched her back and bushed out her tail. "That's right, girls, we've got company. It's a man, believe it or not, and he's moving in upstairs. Get ready." The cats sniffed at her with their usual disdainful look. Empress ran in front of her, almost tripping her on the way to answer the door. On purpose, she was quite sure. With her mother's cats darting out ahead of her, Julia walked out into what used to be the foyer of the house before she had created the upstairs apartment and now served as an entryway to both residences. She opened the front door, doing her best to ignore the rapid tripping of her heartbeat. "Hi, you're Julia, right?" As his sister-in-law was one of her dearest friends, she and Jamie had met numerous times at various events at Snow Angel Cove and elsewhere, but she didn't bother reminding him of that. Julia knew she was eminently forgettable. Most of the time, that was just the way she liked it. "Yes, hello, Mr. Kane." He aimed his high-wattage killer smile at her. "Please, Jamie, nobody calls me Mr. Kane." Julia was grimly aware of her pulse pounding in her ears and a strange hitch in her lungs. Up close, Jamie Kane was, in a word, breathtaking. He was Mr. Darcy, Atticus Finch, Rhett Butler, and Tom Cruise in Top Gun, all rolled into one glorious package. Dark hair, blue eyes, and that utterly charming Kane smile he shared with Aiden, Eliza's husband, and the other Kane brothers she had met at various events. "You were expecting me, right?" he said after an awkward pause. She jolted, suddenly aware she was staring and had left him standing entirely too long on her front step. She was an idiot. "Yes, of course, come in, I'm sorry." "Pull yourself together, he's just a guy who happens to be gorgeous." So far, she was seriously failing at Landlady 101. She sucked in a breath and summoned her most brisk, keep your voice down, please, librarian persona. "As you can see, we will share the entry. Because the home is on the Registry of Historical Buildings, I couldn't put in an outside entrance to your apartment as I might have preferred. The house was built in 1880, one of the earliest brick homes on Lake Haven. It was constructed by an ancestor of mine, Sir Robert Winston, who came from a wealthy British family and made his own fortune supplying timber to the railroads. He also invested in one of the first hot springs resorts in the area. The home is Victorian, specifically in the spindled Queen Anne style. It consists of 7 bedrooms and 4 bathrooms. When those bathrooms were added in the 1920s, they provided some of the first indoor plumbing in the region." "Interesting," he said, though his expression indicated he found it anything but. She was rambling, she realized, as she tended to do when she was nervous. She cleared her throat and pointed to the doorway where the three cats were lined up like sentinels, watching him with unblinking stares. "Anyway, through those doors is my apartment and yours is upstairs. I have keys to both doors for you along with a packet of information here." She glanced toward the ornate marble top table in the entryway that her mother claimed once graced the mansion of Leland Stanford on Nob Hill in San Francisco, where she thought she had left the information. Unfortunately, it was bare. "Oh, where did I put that? I must have left it inside in my living room. Just a moment." The cats weren't inclined to get out of her way, so she stepped over them,